The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We are in the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All studios for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. No Gabe Neitzel this week as he continues to golf around Scotland. But Chewy is here, and Josh is here, and I am here, and I am refusing to give in to the people who say that I cannot. There are people, Chew, who say, I should not, I cannot, I shall not walk over to the thermostat and flip on the heat. Those people, I may live with one of them who can say, those people will not keep me from enjoying the warmth of my furnace when the temperature gets down to 41 degrees in Milwaukee today. They won't bully me. Can't keep me from turning on the heat. This is a hot topic. People get very, no pun intended, people get very heated, frustrated about,
going.
Yeah, I know, about when to turn the heat on in the fall. You don't worry about the heat. You just escape. You just leave. You don't worry about turning on the thermostat. You just go, I'm going to go to Florida. What temperature do you guys put the heat on in your house?
Here I have the air conditioning on. It's set at 72. All right, I got a question for you. Yeah. And can someone, why are girls colder than guys? Why? Why?
Excellent question. Joshy is sliding over to the Google old it. Research machine. He's going to tap it in. I don't know, but my husband and I did go back and forth on this yesterday because he got in my car to go to lunch and I had the heat blasting. And he had been out golfing, so he was wearing a sweatshirt and long pants, and he was like roasting. So he rolled down the window and turned the heat off, and I was like looking at him like, hey, this is my car. I get to set the temperature in this vehicle. But I think you're right. Like, I am always chilly. So I would, and when I'm warm, I would rather be very warm, right? Like if I'm outside, I'd rather be warm than cold. I don't know. Is your understanding that is a man versus woman thing?
I think I want to know if science backs it up in some way. I'd rather be cold than hot because, when you're dressed up out and about, I don't want to sweat. I mean, I kind of sweat at the drop of a hat. Mm. I go into the gym, first 10 minutes, I got a lather going.
Mm.
Where my wife hates it. She runs on the treadmill with a fan going. And I'm like, why? I don't get it.
So maybe it is just an inherent, like, different, like, core temperature or something.
Yeah, it's a difference in metabolic rate and muscle composition. So, like,
whoa.
If you have... Men typically have more muscle than women, just as like a
generally
evolutionary. Yeah, an evolutionary. And that creates more body heat because keeping those active expels more heat. Like,
interesting.
Use of them.
So
it does say that is questioned. Like, sometimes they think it's just like some people's bodies are different. Like, it doesn't apply for everyone, is what they're trying to stress there.
So I know.
I will say this, Jen. And my wife will probably kill me, but that's just the way it goes. She's of that age. She's of that age.
The fact that all three of us knew that's where you were going to go and you still went there.
Where she has, what is it called? The hot, I don't know, where she boils. What is it called? Like it just
I'm not saying the word.
A heat flash?
Hot flash?
Hot flash? Yeah, she said those are the worst.
Nice of you to throw him the life preserver there.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are the worst.
Those are bad,
And I'm sure that in the next 5 years or so, I'm going to be experiencing those with regularity. I'm sure
that she's very happy you told everyone.
Just on the verge. No, she's furious, but... We know that.
That's the way the show goes.
He knows that. So yesterday it got down to 61 degrees in our house. I think it was like 50 outside. So I went over there and flipped it on. Dario walked into the house and he goes, "Why is it roasting in here?" I said, "Because I was cold." And I had a sweatshirt on and I had a blanket on and I was sitting there typing out and working on my story for this week for game day. And I felt no shame. None. Zero.
What did you set it at?
I don't
know. What did
you
set it at?
On.
You would drive me bonkers.
Who could say? I don't know. I just turned it on. Needed the heat. I was freezing. And I have this thing about, like, I pay the bills. Not saying that Dario doesn't, but I pay these bills. If I want it to be warm in my house, it shall be warm. So let it be written. So let it be done, Chew. So I turned the heat on. It's October 14th. Is that too early to turn the heat on? By the way, right now it is 41 degrees. 41 degrees in the Milwaukee area. And, Chew, I have a freeze warning on my phone. Freeze warning over the next 24 hours.
So in, let's say December, it's 25 degrees outside. What are you setting the thermostat at? 70?
Wait, what is it outside?
25.
That's a 68.
All right, that's not bad. Okay. Because I battle between 72 and 70. I want it at 70 when I'm there. She would probably want it at 75, which is too ungodly hot.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I mean, but we battle every time we go to on the road to see one of the kids or staying in a hotel. We go back and forth. I set it at 68. All of a sudden, I look. It's at 74.
Uh-huh.
I bump it down back to 68, and we kind of settle at 72.
You guys are volleying back and forth with the thermostat.
Yes.
That's what's happening here.
Yes.
Folks weighing in already on the ESPN Milwaukee talking text line, 800-990-3776. People also weighing in on the YouTube page. Frankie saying 72 right now in my house, and that's too warm, but I have to be considerate, and he put it in quotation marks. John weighing in saying 61 in the house is crazy. My house is 74 in the summer and 70 in the winter. Jen, LOL, it's 35 in Madison right now and no heat on in the house. Mad City Brew is taking a stand. Good for you, Mad City Brew, but I don't live there, so I don't care.
I think this is a fight we know we don't win. I think males. In the end, you guys win. We try to negotiate as far as we can, but this is a battle I lose. I'm never going to win.
Ben weighing in saying it's 34 degrees here right now. I assume he means outside and not in his dwelling because that would be insane. The furnace has not been on. No consideration until at least November 1st. See, that to me is too rigid. It is too rigid to set a date for when you will turn the furnace on because weather patterns fluctuate. Like again, somebody told me, oh, it's supposed to be, Josh, you said it's supposed to be 70 degrees this weekend. Cool. It's not right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is not today. So for me to be like, no, I'm not going to turn the furnace on until November 1st, even if we have a freeze warning on my phone, which we currently do, that to me feels like not taking all the variables into consideration.
It has to be temperature based, doesn't it? That's the way I posted the poll question for people to vote on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy account. I've never set a date. It's always been, hey, is it too cold in here? Well, I'm going to turn the heat on. I'm not as stickler as, say, my parents were as we grew up as kids. And a lot of people I know, they are, until it dips below 60 in the house, we aren't turning the heat on. Which to me is like, are you cold or are you not? I prefer the house cold. Luckily, so does my girlfriend. So we don't really have a fight about it. I just let her make the decision, and generally I'm happy with it. There's no warring back and forth with the heat, which it seems to be the case in both of your houses.
Well, you've been beat down. That's what that sounds like.
Well, let me ask you guys this. What temperature do you think the fans believe the players want to play in? What do you guys think?
I would think you guys want like 40s to 50s. Still cool, maybe a little higher on the 50 side, but like no one wants to be sweating like crazy out there.
65 feels 80. Like a good time. 80?
80.
Why? Because you 80. Get warm.
Loose is a goose. Because you can always hydrate. 80's not that hot.
I think that's very hot. I don't think you're a reliable source on this, actually, because you choose to spend your time in Florida. Mm-hmm.
I love a nice lather. I love getting a little sweaty, you know.
Something tells me Tausch wouldn't agree with that 80-degree temperature.
Well, linemen, they're cattle. Remember, I told you that. Cattle don't like it hot. They just want to graze. And yeah.
He's taken out everybody this morning. He's taken out his wife. He's taken out the offensive lineman and Tausch. We said on this show last week, Tausch could get all of us fired. She was just over here batting the ball around, just playing with the playing with the toy. 58 in the house this morning, Alan says. The furnace is on. 58 feels like a good number to put your furnace on. Can't justify turning the heat on in October, Jared in the 920 says. Just got to be layered. We have long sleeves and sweatshirts for a reason. Dad? Is that my dad texting in this morning under a pseudonym? That, My father was notorious for put on a sweatshirt. Grab a blanket. So you're walking around looking like a nun because you got the blanket over your head. I have distinct memories of being a child walking around with a blanket wrapped around my shoulders like a shawl because he refused to turn the heat on too early.
Well, my dad was along the same lines as your dad, very frugal, but he would shut the furnace off. He had a sign that he would put over the stove with a magnet that said furnace is off. Well, the problem when the furnace is off, the hot water goes off too. And we had five showers to take, right? So if you were
once you empty that tank,
four or five, that's a quick shower. And my younger brother, who's a b-hole, would stay in knowing I hadn't showered, stay in there extra long to make sure all the hot water was gone before I got in there. Yeah, so that's what I had to battle with.
Yeah, that's fun. But that conditioned you, right? That made you tough. That's why you were able to play in the NFL.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Let's go with it.
Nice to have water.
Let's see. Jen, get a fireplace. You can heat up that part of the house with a gas fireplace. That's a good suggestion. We do have a fireplace. I will probably try to turn it on. It doesn't project as much as I thought it would. It's not one of those that has the fan underneath it. It's just a it's just a gas fireplace. So it doesn't kick. I think that's the word I'm looking for. It doesn't kick the way I'd like for it to.
The idea of just get a fireplace is also just a funny recommendation.
just buy one.
Yeah, just put one in. No, okay, I guess. I'm
pretty sure they sell those at Costco, so the next time you're rolling down the aisles, just pick one up. Let's see. Freeze warning, question mark? What, are you sleeping outside, LOL? That says Ben in the 414. No, but you have to worry about, obviously, if it's cold outside, it being cold in your home. And I know the big thing that people talk about, Shu, is your pipes freezing. Right. Like you have to worry about your pipes freezing and then you have a burst and then that's a whole nother problem. Wow. We've had frost already. Yesterday, our high was 41. Our house didn't get below 67. You need to call one of your contractor buddies, Jen, and insulate your house better. That's fair. I will say this. When we bought the house, it had what do you call them? Rooms. It had rooms. We knocked out a bunch of walls. Now we have a shared space. What do they call that? What is it in the housing, in the homes? What do they call that?
Open concept.
Open concept. There yes, the go. Old open concept. That has really messed up the ability to heat the space efficiently. But it looks great. So,
Chewy, I have a question. You spend a lot of time in Florida. You got a lot of friends down there. Does Florida have temperature hardos like Wisconsin has in the Midwest, but like the inverse? Because people here will be like, I'll wear shorts until it hits the freezing point, and we don't turn the heat on unless it's 55 degrees. Like, is there the opposite? Do people just sit in the sweltering heat down there, or is that not exist?
No. They have to have AC. Yeah. No way. They're not nowhere near as tough as the Midwesterners when it comes to cold. No one likes the hot down here. You just accept it. You know, if you're down here in August or September, you know as soon as you walk out the door you're going to sweat and you just deal with it. But no, they're not as tough. That they'll run to air conditioning every chance they get. But I will say this, sleep is much better when you're cold as opposed to hot. When it's hot, you can't sleep, Josh.
If my feet are cold, I can't sleep.
I do believe there is scientific research on cooler being better, but there is obviously limitations within that. Like if you're so cold you're having to put socks on, that's probably a little too cold.
But there's pushback now, and I don't know if you guys know, but you know how the cold plunge is kind of the hot, you know, the hot thing right now that everyone wants to do. They're saying that that's not a good idea because it puts your body into some kind of shock.
Yeah, stress.
And if you do it too much, it's not good for you. Because I have, you know, people down here, everyone's a salesman down here. Everyone's a salesman or a realtor, okay? And this guy's trying to sell me this cold plunge, you know, $4,000, and it keeps it cool. And I was close to thinking about it until I researched it, and they said, that's actually not good for you all the time.
That makes sense.
So I'm out.
Do you think it's a principle thing, Joshy, as far as why people won't turn the heat on? Because our friend John is saying the amount of money people think they save on heating or cooling at various times during the year is much less than the reality. The savings are minimal.
I think so. And I mean, everybody's in different financial situations. Of course, we have to bake that in. But I mean, I've paid for heating and cooling for quite some time now, and I never even feel like there's that much of a difference. Like, isn't it for most people like a difference of like $40 a month depending on the season and all that? Like, it's really not a big, huge. And granted, I've never lived in a big enough house to really have it matter, but it just seems like we don't do this because this is the way we grew up.
Right. 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 And just like generational trauma, yes. I am putting a stop to it.
Jen, what's the difference in your bill between January and, say, July?
I'm not good at that.
This is pretty sizable.
But
I mean,
but Dario always says that it switches from electric to gas. So the electric is high at one part of the year, and the gas is high at the other part of the year. I assume that's because the air conditioning uses the electricity, and the furnace uses the gas.
Another question for females?
I suppose you're talking to me. I suppose I have
a representative of all of them ever.
Go ahead, please. Yep.
Why don't you shut lights off?
No.
Why don't you shut lights off? It drives me completely insane.
I do shut lights off. I shut all the lights off. But I also will tell you that I did see on Instagram, I want to be clear about what my source was here on this information, that is another thing that actually doesn't save you as much money as you think, because all of the light bulbs now are so advanced that they're not draining the board, the electric, whatever. As soon as I saw that, I was like, well, now it's not as big of a deal, but I still teach the kids to turn the lights off. Heat on as of the 13th, Don says. 68 degrees for heat, 74 for air. Works pretty well for both of us, Don in Mayville. 69, Ryan says. Chewy, that'll get you a good lather and loose as a goose. On that note, we got to take a break.
That's good.
Got to get to Jason Wilde. You talk about the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur speaking yesterday, and we will ask him about something that the head coach of the Houston Texans said about Jordan Love. Is he crazy or is he right on? That's next.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We love getting Jason Wilde's perspective on all things green and gold and other things. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
Good. What is the temperature that you turn the heat on in your home?
I have no idea. Paul is in charge of the temperature in the house.
Just made my point.
I'm a big fresh air windows guy. So, like, in the fall, I love to have the windows open and then close them at night. And so the heat is preferably, for me, just off. But I get very much overruled on that. So I don't know. I think the heat was on yesterday, if that helps.
Yeah, I turned the heat on yesterday. Dario came into the house and he was like roasting. He was like, why is it so hot in here? I said, because
it's
so cold.
That's not the first time he's been roasted.
That's true. Because it's so cold outside. Hello. All right, let's get to the Green Bay Packers. I noticed that there was a change in the secondary for Green Bay in the game this past weekend. Do you think that will be a permanent change given what we have seen from those guys?
I think Evan Williams has certainly earned that opportunity. And I was trying to get a hold of your guy, Dan Lanning, last week, thinking that this might happen, and I didn't. So next time you see him, the Oregon head coach, because I'll tell you what, I get a lot of grief from my guy, Tausch, man. But the comparisons I have made, most of them stand up to his criticism pretty well. I mean, I think already it's pretty clear that Tucker Kraft is going to be better than this knucklehead you do this show with. The comparison of Xavier McKinney to Charles Woodson in terms of the impact he's had on the guys around him was pretty good, and the dude has kind of played like Charles Woodson on top of it. And now with Evan Williams, I don't know how you don't look at him and say this guy's like Micah Hyde was several years ago, right? I mean, he's always around the ball. He always makes the right decision, and he's forced his way onto the field when they didn't even play him on defense in the opener in Brazil, despite having arguably one of the best camps of anyone on their roster. So, you know, I think it's also interesting that they have moved Keyshawn Nixon outside on base downs, that he is now viewed as their number two corner, not Eric Stokes, a former first-round pick, not Carrington Valentine, who had been sharing snaps with Stokes. I mean, they clearly, they've got a bevy of talent in the back end, and when it's all healthy, they've got a ton of options. At some point, somebody's going to get hurt. They're going to have to juggle again. But, you know, the fact that Bullard at Georgia played both deep safety and slot, they just have a ton of options, and they're using them right now.
All right, Jason, time to piss off the Toads, okay? There's a lot of love everywhere for the Packers, nationally and locally, and they don't have a signature win. They beat the last 2 weeks a 1-4 team, a 2-4 team. They have another win against a 1-4 team, and their best win is against a 3-3 team. I mean, if you look at Minnesota, signature wins. Detroit, signature wins. Tampa Bay, signature wins. Why is there so much love?
Yeah, especially when, according to the NFL, if the season ended today, which would tick a lot of people off because they have tickets for other games, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs. They'd be the eighth team. Tausch and I got into it pretty good yesterday, which doesn't happen very often. But I just said that the Cardinals stink. And while it's great that they played a complete four-quarter complimentary game, I'm not going to be crowning them for anything. And let's see what they do against Houston, which comes in at 5-1, which, by the way, you know, they're going to be missing. Now, they had one of their edge rushers suspended. Their number one wide receiver, Nico Collins, is going to be out, but they're still a really good football team.
Mm-hmm.
They've got it going there. And if the Packers can win that, then I will change my tune. But yes, they are 4-2. The one team that might have an even less impressive win resume, because their best win is over a 3-3 Colts team that I don't know how they got to 3-3, frankly, after watching them. But the Bears, all their wins are over teams with one win each.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there, right? I mean, do I think they are trending in the right direction? Absolutely. Do I think that they are in position, especially if they can win on Sunday, to get on a run here and start to really pop? Absolutely. Am I willing to go out on a limb and talk about their choo-choo train to New Orleans based on what they did against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals? No. I mean, I was going down the elevator with Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated after the game, and I usually try to watch the opponent's previous game before they play, and I didn't get that done last week. And I was like, how the hell did these guys beat the 49ers? Well, the 49ers were missing their kicker, and the replacement missed a couple kicks, right? And Kyler Murray made magic happen on a 50-yard touchdown run, right? I mean, the idea that the Cardinals are a good football team is not accurate. Can two things be true? And the Cardinals are bad, but the Packers are very much trending up and trending in the right direction? That can also be true.
So, Jason, there was a tweet from a D'Amico Ryan's availability recently that said that he said Jordan Love will be the best quarterback we've seen this year. Now, the other quarterbacks that the Texans have seen this year include Anthony Richardson, Caleb Williams, Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence, Drake May, and Josh Allen. Is that a fair assessment of Jordan Love, that he is a better quarterback than Josh Allen, who we watched last night on Monday Night Football and his Bills beat the New York Jets? I realize that he hasn't had, you know, his best season thus far, but is Jordan Love better than Josh Allen?
No, I think what this is when you play them. Yeah. Like if they had played Jordan Love and the Packers the week that they played the Bills, and they were now playing the Bills this week, what do you think he'd say? He'd say, this is going to be the best quarterback we face this season, this Josh Allen fella. I saw this got a lot of attention, but, you know, Ryan's played in the league. He's a really smart guy. I mean, he's got his defense humming. But this felt a little like, who was it? Was it Lou Holtz who always used to talk about all the cupcakes on his schedule, like they were national championship contenders? And I'm not saying that Jordan Love is not a really good quarterback. He is. But I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in that statement. And look, I think Jordan Love himself would say, I'm not at Josh Allen's level yet. I haven't accomplished what Josh Allen has done. So, yeah, it's a nice compliment. And there's no doubt that they think that he's a good quarterback. But I think this is based on what the timing of the scheduling of the game is. I personally am not reading a ton into that compliment.
Jason, is the Romeo Doubs drama in the rear view now?
I think so. I think for the most part anyway. I mean, you know, as you well know, winning covers up a lot. And if there were any lingering ill will or bad feelings or what the hell's wrong with this guy thoughts, I think those were at least in part dispersed. Now, I would add this. You know, I think that the reason why, if it is in the rearview mirror, it is, I don't think it's because of Romeo. I think it's because of Jordan Love and Christian Watson and Jaden Reed and Bo Melton. I think those guys have really taken a, you know, and I asked LaFleur about this yesterday, and he had the line about, you know, how, and I'd asked Jordan about it after the game as well. But like LaFleur's line was, if you have issues with your family, you know, you don't just, you know, disown them, which I got to be honest, I'm not sure that's entirely accurate, at least not in my case. But the bottom line is that, you know, those guys are the ones who have made sure that they have pushed past it, because they're the ones that would have the right to be pissed off. And so I just think, and again, I can't praise Christian Watson enough. I just, you know, for a guy that he basically, not to sound like a few good men, disobeyed an order, but they did not want players talking extensively about Romeo Doubs. And he, on Wednesday last week, basically said, no, this guy needs me to stick up for him. I'm going to stick up for him. And I just have a ton of respect for him, because, you know, you know, if you had done that with Holmgren, you would have been called on the carpet for it. I told you guys not to talk about this, and he did it anyway. And that, I think, is a mark of a good teammate and a good friend, and then they backed it up with their actions on game day.
Last thing for you, Jason, before we let you go, give us the update on Kickergate 2024. It sounds like they are going to continue and stay the course with Narveson, although maybe they're losing a little bit of patience. What's your read on that situation?
Yeah, I thought Rob Domofsky did an outstanding job yesterday with how he asked about Alex Hale, their international pathway program player, the other kicker that they have in the building. And he just asked if Hale would be ready if they chose to go that direction. And I think it put LaFleur a little bit on his heels. I don't think he was expecting the Narveson topic to be framed in that way. And he said possibly. And I went and looked at the rules because I had this wrong. This year they changed the rule And a guy like Alex Hale, who is a specialist, can be called up as a game day elevation. So they do have him as an option if they choose to do that with him this week.
But you get the vibe that they are going to stay the course with Narvison if they don't obviously make the switch to Hale?
No, I think, I mean, is that the most likely outcome? Yes. But I also think that they, I think that LaFleur's answer on Narvison was a lot less confident than it was even after the game. Like I was left wondering yesterday if someone had had a conversation about, all right, we're going to explore some more options here. Because remember, Ryland, Chad Ryland, the guy who kicked for the Cardinals on Sunday, he was actually in for a workout the previous week, and the Packers didn't sign him. Then the Cardinals needed to because their guy got hurt. And so, and then he goes in there and he made all his kicks, right?
Yep,
so
two for two. And
you look at the numbers here, you know, not only is Narvison 12 for 17, not only did he also have a miss wiped out in Tennessee by a questionable call, but he hasn't even attempted a 50-yard field goal yet.
Right.
So he's got all these misses from under 50 yards. So there's no way that they're not considering it. But again, I go back to this. The best option on the market right now, other than Brandon McManus, who you want to be careful with him on your team charters, is probably Anders Carlson. And I don't think they're going to go back.
Yeah, Chewy suggested trading for his brother yesterday. Without knowing that it was Anders' brother, he was saying, what about the Raiders? They stink. Can we just get there? Can we trade for their kicker? One of our loyal listeners was like, do you know who their kicker is?
He does now.
No kicker in the NFL has missed more field goals than Narvison's 5 this season. His 70.6 conversion percentage, second worst in the league. And to Jason's point, they haven't even attempted one over 50 yards. Jason, we appreciate your insight. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. All right, so that apparently is the latest with the kicker situation in Green Bay. And we asked Jason Wilde about D'Amico Ryan's complimenting Jordan Love. We'll get Chewy's thoughts on that right after this. Football season is back, and I am excited to get back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle with their game day energy. You should drink Celsius like me and college stars Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, and others. Explore all 27 refreshing flavors, sparkling or non-carbonated. There is a Celsius for every taste on game day. Really enjoying the sparkling cherry cola flavor right now from Celsius. Stay active and energized all game day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to. Ernie, does it ever?
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
No Gabe Neitzel this week as he continues his golf adventure in Scotland. But Chew and Joshy and I are holding it down for you. Chewy, do you like flattery?
Oh, I think everyone does.
Yeah, but do you like it? Are you like, ooh, they like me?
It goes through a filter, I guess. You know?
Depending on what?
I mean, if it's sincere, I mean, clearly D'Amico Ryan's was just...
There it is.
To me, it goes through... All right, so Holmgren would go crazy about bulletin board material, and that was the fastest way to get up into his office. So
if you said something, let's just be clear. If you said something negative or derogatory about your opponent, then they would use that as bulletin board material to, you know, rile them up headed into the game.
Okay. So back in the day, Holmgren had the PR department every day would compile all the articles written about the upcoming game, put them in everyone's locker. Now, this was on paper because I don't even think there were computers back then. So this was all paper. And you'd read through it if you wanted to. If not, you'd discard it because there is not a lot of downtime, but there is downtime during the day. And he would take it as far as if our opponent that week said something inflammatory, then he would have it taped on everybody's locker. So he was a big bulletin board guy, never wanted our side to have bulletin board material for the other team. I only got in trouble one time. I think I had an injury, and I said a little too much, and then he pulled me aside and said, "What are you doing? Don't do that. Don't tell him that." So he was very controlling from that aspect.
So the information that is out there is that D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Texans, who the Packers are playing this weekend, said that Jordan Love will be, this is a quote, "the best quarterback we've seen this year." Now, we rattled off earlier with Jason Wilde who the quarterbacks the Texans have faced this year are. Matt Schneidman of The Athletic was nice enough to compile it for us. Anthony Richardson, Caleb Williams, Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence, Drake May, and Josh Allen. I got to be honest with you guys. Like, Anthony Richardson looks like, when healthy, he could be a star in this league. Caleb Williams is evolving, as we saw this past week. I know, Chu, you mentioned the teams they've played and their respective records. Sam Darnold only has an undefeated team that he is captaining. Trevor Lawrence, we still think, even though the team has had struggles, that he can be a talent in this league. Drake May, we'll see, right? One of the top draft picks. But Josh Allen has a proven record of success. So I think that's the one where people's eyeballs got a little wide. And we watched Josh Allen last night on Monday Night Football, and he didn't look his best, but he obviously played well enough for them to win. And I asked Jason Wilde earlier if Jordan Love is as good as Josh Allen. And he did what you said, which is this is just him flattering the quarterback as opposed to criticizing or saying anything that could be used to motivate the opponent. This is just him saying nice things about the guy. And you think that is a pretty standard operating procedure for a lot of these teams in this day and age.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen's the only one really on that list that pops out. And the gap between the two, I mean, there's a little bit of a gap, but it's not very big. I still think Jordan is, he was in the preseason for a while, right? Because the preseason was so meh, played Philly, gets hurt, misses 2 weeks. So I think this might be, or last week might have been, his first game, technical game, where he's really starting to warm up. And I agree with Jason. I think he's going to get better week in and week out. And I don't think the offense is going to be the problem down the road. I just think the problem is going to be defense. If they can't get a pass rush and they're playing good teams, the closer you get to the playoffs, I mean, you got to win 3 games in a row. And I just, right now, the back end of the defense, I think, is playing great. But I mean, if they can't generate some kind of pass rush, they're going to have a little bit of trouble.
But wasn't
I don't know
concern,
what to do about it.
But wasn't your concern this week about Kyler Murray and how elusive he could be and how much he could change the game with his legs? And the Packers neutralized him. Like, that was not even a factor in this one. And we have said this before, like, those types of quarterbacks have been a bit of an Achilles heel for the Packers defense. Is the defense always evolving? Yes. Are we seeing them seemingly grow and be more productive under Jeff Hafley? Also, yes. But CJ Stroud, who, you know, again, took the league by storm last year and really kind of defied all of those narratives about how much time it takes for a rookie quarterback to transition from the college game to the pro game, he's going to be the guy on the other side. Right now, who's better, Jordan Love or C.J. Stroud, between the two QBs who will be on the field this weekend?
I'd call it a push. I'd call it a push. I think they're both going to be very good quarterbacks in this league, and I would say they're pretty comparable right now. Last week, I was more worried about the letdown. I mean, I knew Green Bay was a much better team on paper, even though they beat San Francisco and San Francisco let that one slip away, but I was more concerned about a letdown. But I think it, from a team effort side of it, I think this is the best, even though the opponent was terrible. I think this was their most complete game of the season right now, and they should be feeling pretty good. The bottom line, it's what, week 7?
Yep.
You know, week 7. I mean, it's early, but it's not. And what doesn't make it early is if they do lose this game and Minnesota wins with eight games remaining, that's tough to make up.
Well, Minnesota's that's taking on to Detroit. Do you anticipate the Vikings beating Detroit this weekend? I guess I'm leaning towards Detroit right now.
Ah, they lost Hutchinson. That hurts. I mean, that stings. So that pass rush is not going to be that effective. And is Hockenson back yet? I don't even know. I know he was on PUP for a while.
I think he is.
No,
he's not back yet?
I mean, he might be coming back this coming week, but he has not returned to play yet.
Which is only going to make them better, you know? So...
I would think it is.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Minnesota beats them. That's why I said this game is so important, and it's kind of a must game because I don't know if they can make up the difference with eight games to go with a team that is really, really playing well.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because we did put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll yesterday. Is this game against the Texans a must win? And the reaction of people who said that it is not a must win was mostly because of the AFC versus NFC. But to your point, you have to be able to keep pace. If the Vikings continue to win, mm-hmm. you cannot drop a game and then put that distance between you and the top team in the division. So if for no other reason than we are trying to hold serve here, and if they go on to win, we need to win to kind of remain in the race. I understand this idea. Your also concern is like from a confidence standpoint, right? You have to be able to at some point beat a good team. You can't just beat up on crappy teams.
That's why I don't understand the love, because there's a lot of national love right now. And like I said, I rattle off a couple teams that I think are ahead of them. They have signature wins. There's no signature win yet. This would be a signature win. This would be a signature win. So that's why this game's so important. But the problem, Jen, is letting Minnesota get so far ahead, you're really only guaranteed one home game at best. I mean, fluky stuff, sure, can happen in the playoffs where maybe you do get to. But chances are Minnesota wins the division, you're getting one home game at best.
Is this weekend's game against the Texans a must-win game? Yes or no? We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Still time to get your votes in. Right now, 53% of people are saying no, but that is pretty split. 53% to 47% saying yes. Some of the reaction that has been rolling in, James saying absolutely, already having two losses through 6 weeks, we have to keep pace in the division. Someone else, Totoro, says no, but we do need to beat a team that has more than two wins at some point this season. The idea is, why not now? 800-990-3776. Chewy says this game against the Texans is a must win. Do you agree? We have to take a break here on the show. Lots of stuff to still get to. Joshy said that they were talking glowingly about the Packers this morning on Get Up. We will get to some of those comments and get Chewy's reaction on that right after this. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. With deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong. No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Big shout out. Flowers, props, all of it in order. For our friend and teammate, Brian D., who completed the Chicago Marathon on Sunday. Ooh. I was down there cheering on my sister, who also completed the 26.2-mile course. And the thing about the marathon is you get a lot of people jamming into the city, right? Spectators and participants and all of that. If you go to the expo before the marathon, they got a ton of gear. They got t-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and all of the things that say the name of the marathon or the name of the city and all of the things. You got unlimited designs. But there is one just one official marathon jacket. Every marathon puts one out. They change it year to year. And if you run the marathon, it's a nice little souvenir. It's a nice little, you know, display of accomplishment, if you will. The number of people I saw walking around the 27th mile post-race party wearing the official marathon jacket, who very clearly did not run the marathon, was irking me, man. It got under my skin. You can buy any of the other things. The t-shirts, the hoodies, the sweatshirts. Wear them to your heart's desire. Spend all of your money. But the official marathon jacket should be reserved for people who trudge their way through the 26.2 miles, Joshy. I feel very strongly about this.
One question to start here. Was it a good look? Was it a good looking jacket? Because sometimes if the jacket's fire, sorry, I'm buying it.
It's a good looking jacket.
Yeah,
it's a good looking jacket.
That's trouble. Got to make it uglier. Go ahead, Chew.
All right, Jen. What about when it comes to Super Bowl rings?
Yes, what about it?
Does the secretary deserve one?
Yes, it depends on how
much you deserve one.
It's a great question. I guess it depends on how much you think they contributed to the team's success. The travel secretary, if that's who we're talking about here, you know, figuratively, played a significant role in the team's success, making sure that they, the players, the coaches, didn't have to worry about those logistics. You could argue that the field crews made sure that your playing surface was in tip-top shape so that you could go out there and do your job at the elite level. So I think that in that instance, you could make the argument that they did contribute to the success of the team. The guy walking through the party, you know, with a brewski in hand, very clearly did not run the marathon, doesn't have the ice on the knees, doesn't have the zombie walk going that we all know you get after you finish a 26.2 mile run. You can't wear the jacket. You're not allowed.
Where do we draw the line on this? Because vintage graphic band tees are very popular. When people say, can you name a Waylon Jennings song, some of the more obscure, a Steely Dan, something along those lines.
Well, Chewy knows all of Steely Dan's catalog.
Should I be able to go up to, a person in a Grateful Dead shirt and say, what was your favorite year of their live concerts?
There's a big difference. First of all, I want to put this on the record. I agree with Joshy on this. If you can't name five songs, you shouldn't wear the shirt.
Wow.
I feel very strongly about that.
We had this discussion when it came to fans of a team. The Blammer says he's a huge Badger fan, yet he cannot name one player on the Badgers. If you're a diehard Packer fan, shouldn't you be able to name at least X amount of players on the team?
Well, I don't love the idea of, like, if you're in a bar and you tell a guy you're a sports fan and he starts saying, oh, yeah, what happened in 1942? And you're like, I don't know. I don't think that should be some sort of gatekeeping to be a sports fan.
Sounds like you're gatekeeping
running. But the marathon is an accomplishment, guys. It is like the peak accomplishment. Like, it's one of those things that you have to put in weeks and weeks of preparation. And yes, you get a medal. And yes, that is the sign and the symbol of the accomplishment. But the official marathon jacket, in my mind, should be reserved for those who did the course, for those who put in the work, for those who crossed the finish line. Not somebody. Now I understand how consumerism works.
Yeah. As I say, I believe those people at the marathon are telling you to shut the heck up. Yeah. Hey, do you want more of these to happen?
Sell more jackets.
I just don't know what
about the guy holding the police tape at the end of the marathon that they run through? Should he get a jacket?
You've never been to a marathon, have you, bud?
What about the people working it?
I've never run one. Yeah.
Like, isn't there people manning, like, water
or medical? So, to be fair, they do give volunteer swag.
Yeah.
They do. They do reward volunteers for a lot of these big-time marathons for taking time out of their busy schedule to help the thing go smoothly. You need thousands and thousands and thousands of people to, you know, make one of these events work. So, yes, they do give swag.
But what about the jacket?
Not the jacket!
There's a difference between the...
The jacket is only for those who have done it. I feel very, very strongly about
this. I think the metal is what you get, and you have to deal with other... You know what I'm going to do, just to spite you? I'm going to get one of those dumb 26.2 stickers and stick it on my car and just drive around with that. Just to thumb my nose at you and your highfalutin protecting the marathon runners.
I'll get the 13.1.
You only doing half the work? What a shock. We roll on right after this.